So what I wanted to look at this afternoon is a connection I would make between the mindfulness of the feeling tone and a certain awareness of ethics. So first, looking at ethics, what do we mean by ethics in a Buddhist context? So generally, in a Buddhist context, we would look at an ethical attitude in terms of a wise, compassionate attitude. So we're not so much looking at it in terms of keeping certain regulations, certain rule and regulation which society or groups or different things has decided upon. But in a way, it's something which is a little more movable in terms of looking at what is a creative way, what is a wise, compassionate way to deal with this situation. And so I think in terms of ethics, we're looking, personally I feel, about relationship. How do I relate? So the first thing is, how do I relate to myself? That's the first relationship we have. Then the next relationship is, how do I relate to others? Then how do I relate to the world, the trees, the animals, etc. And so it's kind of very much looking at the relationship. Is it creatively engaged, creatively wise and compassionate relationship? Do I bring that attitude to it? And so I would say, in general, that's what we intend. We intend, generally, to respond wisely, compassionately. But then, at times we don't. And that's where I, in a way, make the connection. Because generally, when we don't, it has a lot to do with the feeling tone. And with how, in a way, there is a contact, there is a feeling tone, which of course it intensifies to a certain degree. And then we might have an ethical response. So in order to look at this, I wanted to look basically to take a basic framework of the five precepts. So in Buddhism, in most schools, you have the five precepts. Which you can look in terms of cultivating something or restraining something else. So the first one is do not kill. You could, in terms of restraint, is do not kill. I would say in terms of everyday life, maybe it would be better to say do not harm, because we generally don't go around killing people. And then the other side of it would be, how can I cultivate harmlessness in body, mind, and speech? Then the second one is do not steal. Generally understood that do not take what is not given freely. And then the other side of the cultivation, generosity. Cultivating a generous attitude toward ourselves and others in many different ways. Then the third one is do not commit harmful sexual action. Then the cultivation could be, how can I have a creatively wise and compassionate sexuality? Then the fourth is do not lie. Then the cultivation could be, how can I cultivate honesty? But then, in terms of Buddhism, often it's also looking at appropriate speech. How can I cultivate kind, truthful, leading to harmony speech, for example, in tone, words, action. And then the fifth one, in terms of the restraint, is do not take intoxicant or alcohol. And in terms of the cultivation, is, I would say, cultivating a clarity. Cultivating health and clarity, one could say. So if we take them back again, so the first one is do not kill. So we generally don't go around killing. I mean, my husband for many years worked in being a Buddhist chaplain in a prison, and he was very afraid at the beginning. The first time he went there, he thought, you know, there would be all these terrible guys. It was a male prison, terrible people, and very dangerous, and everything like that. And I mean, of course, there are some were a little weird. That's true. That's true. But he said most of them were actually just like you and me. Especially he had a young guy who was such a nice person, such a nice person. But the problem of that young guy was he had a totally impossible relationship with unpleasant feeling talk. So as soon as he felt a certain type of unpleasant feeling tone, if somebody was threatening or if somebody especially were swearing at him or anything of that nature, then he would just basically want to annihilate the person, want it to stop. And I think often a lot of the killing, I would say, unless somebody enjoys killing, then they have a pleasant feeling tone with killing. It's rare, but some people do. But generally, I would say the killing is about wanting to stop an unpleasant feeling tone. And it can be kind of, you know, and if the person has such impulsivity and is aggressive, then it's extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. So, and I think that's what happened. Suddenly there is this impossible, unpleasant feeling tone, and to stop it, then you kill. You kill the person. Which generally doesn't resolve the situation. But I think at that moment, that's in a way the impression you have. And this, at a lesser level, we can look at this, do not harm. You know, like, how am I harmful? Or even if we think about when we want to erase somebody from our life, even if it's just in imagination. And, you know, how often have I heard people, you know, like working in an office and saying, if only that person was not in the office, then it would be okay. And it's basically saying, well, if that person did not exist, then I would have a pleasant feeling too. And because they exist, I have an unpleasant feeling too. So to get rid of the unpleasant feeling tone, then let's get rid of the person. I mean, often that's what we do. I mean, when I was in Korea sitting, you know, generally it's very communal, so you are quite a lot to a room. And at the beginning, I thought, if only they were not there, then I could meditate. And then one day they all went, and I had 3 months all on my own. And within 2 weeks, I knew it was not them. The unpleasant feeling tone did not, they were not the cause of it. I was the cause of them. And that was for me very, very a revelation. So, in a way, to see when, in a way, we want to erase something. I mean, I'm not saying that sometimes we should avoid some people. I totally agree. But just to see what happened. Generally, it's because there is this unpleasant feeling tone upon contact with their world, their action, themselves, or whatever it might be. So to see, generally, we have an unpleasant feeling tone. We want to get rid of it. But generally, what we do is not so much get rid of the unpleasant feeling tone by kind of, in a way, creatively engaged with it. But generally, we want to get rid of the cause of the contact. We want to get rid of the contact of the person who has given us the feeling tone. I mean, an easy one, though, I mean, it's, I am in June, I'm going to go to North America. And because there is different conferences and things. And actually, I am relatively happy to go there for diverse reasons. But one of the unpleasant feeling tone which I have in advance, and possibly I'll get there too, is because seemingly they have special bugs there. That's, they have bugs that if they bite you, they take some skin with it. So So I mean, whenever I think of this bug, you know, immediately unpleasant feeling tone, even in advance. And you think, you know, if only there was not this bug in June in North America. And it's very interesting. I mean, generally, that's what we do with mosquitoes and things of that nature. I don't want it. You know, I want to get rid of it. And I think that's where this harmfulness comes. In two ways, because when we are harmful, often it's an immediate reaction to an unpleasant feeling. Let's say somebody says something critical to you, a lot of the time, immediately they will say, well, you do this, and you will say, well, you do that. So immediately, it's kind of replaced. It's very interesting, that automatic reaction we have. And so basically we say no to that being given to us. We say no, 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 and you do the same. But also sometimes we have an unpleasant feeling tone because of some situation and we want everybody else to feel exactly the same, you know. Because, I mean, we could appreciate that at least they are not unhappy. But no, we think, I'm so unhappy, they should be too, you know. Kind of very interesting, so we might kind of, you know, make it unhappy for them or different things, you know. So is to see, personally, that's why I think the unpleasant feeling tone can be the causes of a lot. Our reaction to them can be a lot of the causes for causing harmfulness, actually, for actually going against that precept. Then you have the next one, and the next one is opposite. The next one is do not steal, do not take what is not given. And generally that one, you see something which produces a pleasant feeling tone, so you want it. So generally, I mean, most people don't go around stealing, but often we might, you know, kind of like library books or, you know, different thing of that nature. I like it. Nobody seems to need it, you know. I can make good use of it. And basically what is it? We have a pleasant feeling tone with it. And so pleasant feeling tone, I want it. How can I get it? I mean, I was reading this very sad event of something which happened 3 years ago, and now they're just having the trial in France. And what was interesting was the lawyer of the guy, basically four guys tried to rob a jewelry, and in the process of robbing the jewelry, they killed the guy of the shop. And what the lawyer defending the culprit was saying, but they're not bad guys. They did not intend to kill the fellow. They did not go out to in the jewelry to kill him. Though they went with a gun. So I mean, was it just to threaten? Or so the fellow said, oh, it was an accident that I killed the guy by shooting him in the head. Anyway, but what is interesting here is what was the cause of this was actually they had this idea, we need some money, there are lots of money in jewelry, let's go and rob a jewelry and then we'll have lots of pleasant feeling tone because we'll get all these things, we'll get money and we'll be richer or whatever. And then we will not be, our bank account will be much better and then we will have good feeling tone. They might also have enjoyed the adventure of it, who knows? But in a way, the idea was by getting this, I am going to get good feeling tone. That was very much about that. But through it, they created lots of a terrible feeling tone for everybody, them included. So it's kind of like sometimes by wanting something so much, because of the pleasant feeling tone, then actually it has a kind of like snowball effect of creating actually lots of unpleasant feeling tall. And just, you know, within us, I think it's interesting that when you see something and seeing something create within you a pleasant feeling too. I want money in the bank, I want a house, I want the truth, but that's a little easier with that one in terms of getting it. And I want something. And if I had that something, I would have such a pleasant feeling too. So even in advance of having it, you have a pleasant feeling too, only thinking about getting it. And so in a way, and then, let's say you don't have money and you can't have the holiday or the house or whatever, then you feel terrible because you don't have it. And then you judge your life according to this imaginary pleasant feeling too you would have if you had that. And then you can convince yourself to do quite a lot of things with that. Because if only I had this feeling, if only I had this, I would have this wonderful feeling tone. It's my right to have a wonderful feeling tone. And then I might steal or might take advantage of somebody or whatever in order to have it. So it's also interesting how much we can identify with this imaginary feeling tone, pleasant feeling tone, and what that might lead us to do. That I think to me is interesting. I'm not saying we should not have pleasant feeling tone. As we said, it's a good idea. But it's kind of like also to look at the imaginary one, the one in the future that we're imagining. And the power of that, because they're abstract, the power of it. And how then just imagining getting that can actually make act quite unethical. Just because of that imaginary. That I find sometimes also is interesting. Then you have another one. So this one is about sexuality. And so of course, I mean, depending, I'm saying in general, huh? There's many different cases in terms of sexuality, but generally, if we have sex with somebody, it generally leads to have pleasant feeling tone. And then sometimes it can be a very pleasant feeling tone, but also it can be very relatively short. And that's a thing the Buddha was pointing at, that generally if we have a pleasant feeling tone, we want it to continue or we want it to repeat itself. And so in a way, I think in terms of sexuality, sometimes we have to look at that. Just in order for me to have a pleasant feeling tone, am I considering the pleasant feeling tone of the other person? If we're doing this together, if we're doing it ourselves, this is a different story. But this is about relationships. So if we relate to somebody, how much are we... To me, that's what is interesting about sexuality, is how it's quite intense. And you have this very intense, pleasant feeling tone, and at that moment we can be lost in that intensity and totally forget about the person you are having it with. Hopefully they are being the same, so you can, you know, it's okay to not consider each other so much, but sometimes maybe not. And I think there it's an interesting place to consider what is, I know when you talk about sex you don't often talk about wisdom and compassion, but why not? It could be there too, I feel. So to see the intensity of the feeling tone and how much wisdom and compassion we can have, how much respect, openness we can have to the other person. And so I think it's very important, because sometimes if you become in a way nearly addicted to the pleasant feeling tone of sexuality, then you keep wanting to have it with the same person or lots of different persons. So in a way to kind of look at that in terms of that, in terms of a compassionate, wise attitude within that intensity of that feeling. Then you have the lying. So lying is very interesting, because it can be provoked by either. In a way, you can lie to somebody, because if you don't lie, you feel a pleasant, unfeeling tone will ensue. So if they say, did you break the vase? And you say, no way, I did not do it. You know? Because you don't want what happened after. Or you might lie, so that then you get a very pleasant feeling tone from lying, from not telling the truth, because the person might consider you better or whatever. I mean, once, many, many years ago, when I was a nun in Korea, a fellow came and was telling me all kind of story and different things. And me, you know, I'll believe anybody anytime. Why not? Why? And at the end of the day, I realized the guy had been lying to me the whole day. And I thought, what for? I mean, I can understand why he did it, because by lying about different things, it made, I presume, make him feel good about himself, because he created this wonderful, exciting persona. And so it was for himself, because me, it did not make any difference that he was Joe Schmuck or he was this incredibly exciting person. I mean, he was a person. My duty was to take care of him and be kind to him. But it was very interesting, kind of, because my question was, why does he have to do this? What kind of feeling tone? Do you lie out of an unpleasant feeling tone? Or do you lie because it gives you a pleasant feeling tone? Because you're going to be seen that way, or because sometimes we like to live in fantasy. We like to be someone else, somewhere else. I mean, nowadays with the internet, I mean, the internet is such a fantastic place for that. It's amazing. I mean, sometimes I read things and I think, is this true? I mean, like, is this really, really true? Or is this just for fun? Is it just, you know, because nowadays you have, the last one, which was a little, it's sad. It's really sad. This young woman who said that she cured herself of cancer by not taking gluten and all these things, and very quickly made lots of money out of it and things of that nature. And without doing chemotherapy and everything. And of course people started to question a little bit the thing. And now she said, no, I've never had cancer, but I'm really against gluten and coffee and things of that nature. And you wonder, I mean, there might be different conditions, but you wonder, you know, to just create this whole thing out of very little in a way. And what it creates within oneself when one is lost in the fantasy of it. I mean, it's fantastic, pleasant feeling tone. If possibly, if one realizes it's not true, unpleasant feeling tone, if one believes in the lie, then it's just pleasant feeling tone. So it's interesting, when we lie, what is going on? I find it very interesting when we kind of like edge the truth, you know? I kind of play a little with it. Is it pleasant feeling tone, or is it unpleasant feeling tone? What is going on? So I think it's a lot, I would say, to do with that. And the last one is actually to not take intoxicant, to not take alcohol. And from the point of view of the Buddha, it was about clarity. That if you took intoxicant and alcohol, then you generally, it could lead you to break all the precepts. And so for this, and also to make you unclear, and also possibly to make you violent and things of that nature. So he kind of, that's what generally he said, restrain. But then I think it can be interesting to reflect when we take alcohol to a degree which we become addicted, or it really changes our consciousness, either in different ways, self-violence or violence to others or different things. What is behind it? What is behind it? And I would say again, here it can be either either in a way you take the alcohol or the intoxicant, because you are feeling a very unpleasant feeling tone because of something else, and if you take them, then you feel very different. You feel a pleasant feeling tone. I was reading recently about somebody who was a young woman who had become addicted to alcohol and then recently managed to stop. And she was saying it was like when she was 15 and feeling really awkward and very anxious and very embarrassed, her first or three drink of alcohol was like, she said, she fell in love, because it was such a pleasant feeling to her, because she felt so not anxious, not awkward. And he just, she felt very different. And so in a way, she then drink alcohol to feel better, but then over time, it doesn't work anymore like it worked the first time, because of different chemical things happening and what the effect of the alcohol was on her. So sometimes we actually do this thing because we feel this unpleasant feeling tone, and to change it. And that's an easy way to change it. I mean, I don't drink. But actually not partly because of ethical reason, but more because my stomach doesn't like it and never did. So I don't see why should I do this. It doesn't do anything for me. Same with drug, never did anything for me, so I don't. But to see that, of course, there is this effect. I mean, why intoxicant and alcohol people take them? There is an effect. There is a physiological or psychological effect. And so it's, in a way, how can I be, that's the point, how can I be with an unpleasant feeling tone in a creative way so that it does not become more intense, because we don't want, of course, for people to keep having this terrible feeling tone. And so in a way to see, how am I using alcohol? Could I use it less? Could I use something else? Because this is one thing I really believe, is that if you decide to stop alcohol, you'll have to find something else to give you a pleasant feeling tone. And there was this young man who got into trouble because of drug addiction and things like that, and went to jail and then stopped. And he said, yes, he took drugs because he enjoyed them. He thought, drugs, fantastic, give me such nice, pleasant feeling tone. I want to have this. Then he got in lots of trouble because of that. Then he thought, what can I do instead? And I thought he was very clever, he was very wise of him to think, you know, instead of just stopping them, what can I do instead? So he decided to take surfing. And surfing had the same kind of adrenaline, kind of rush, pleasant feeling to him. So I think it's something we have to see, that if it's because of unpleasant feeling tone, then how can something else help me then? If it's because the drug or the alcohol make me feel fantastic and I love the experience and everything. I mean, if it doesn't hurt anybody, no, you possibly. I have lots of my friends who continue with it. But if it's problematic, then in a way, how can I replace it with something else? So to me, this is also an ethical move, not to condemn the thing itself, but to see, these are the conditions, these are the feeling tones. Especially with the fifth one, how could I replace it by something else? And then I would have, again, that potential experiencing a pleasant feeling tone, to experience myself differently if I want to do so. And so I would say that if we look at the feeling tone and if we look at ethics, it's really kind of like this exploration. Not saying you must never do this, it must not be like this or whatever. But to me, these two things come together as an exploration. What are the conditions? What are the feeling tones that are more likely to make me ungenerous, to make me harmful? And what are the conditions that will make me more harmless, more generous, etc.? So I think, and also looking very much at the feeling tone, because we have such a reaction to that. I think it's, that's why the Buddha, I think, put so much emphasis on that, because it's so powerful. That they be pleasant or unpleasant, it's so powerful. So, that's what I wanted to say today. So what I thought we could do, in terms of the meditation, we can just continue with the breath or the body or the sound like we did this morning. Or we can actually work a little with the feeling tone and the thoughts and ethic. Because I think it's very much where we can see. So not to use it the way of the feeling tone of the thought as in judging ourselves, bad thought, bad feeling tone, but more to see what are the thought and the feeling tone which brings me more toward wisdom and compassion. And if I have a thought which is harmful, for example, or is ungenerous, what is going on here? What's the feeling tone of that? And in terms of sitting here, I think one can look first at the relationship to self. What are the thoughts we are having right now? I mean, are they kind, compassionate thoughts to ourselves? Or are we actually, as we sit here, giving ourselves a hard time? Because that would be slightly unethical, in a way. So in a way, it's looking at that. What is the feeling tone of my thought? Am I being, you know, yeah, you're doing the best you can in this situation, or come on, you're hopeless, you know, why, you know, you never manage anything, and what's the point? I mean, what is going on? And also, if you have some storyline going round about somebody else, either somebody else that, I want them, and you're already imagining, you know, I don't know, having 5 children with them. I had a friend like that, you know, he was with somebody, and then he met somebody else, and he was a very interesting person to somebody else, and he was very tempted. So we had a long chat about it. And he was, you know, already imagining all kind of, you know, future very pleasant things together. And then we talked about it, and I was kind of saying, you know, this is lots of anticipation here, self-anticipation. We don't know what the other person is like. So it was very interesting. He was going really big amplification around the person. And so we kind of talked a little about it, and a little of de-amplification. And so when I, you know, next time I met him, I was very curious what happened. Because I thought he would go, there seemed to be amplification. He said, no, he said, oh, it was just a dream. It was just a dream. So he stayed with the first one. But so that was sweet. That was interesting. So to see when we are interested by somebody and, you know, what's going on and what's the story around it and things like that. Or when you don't like somebody. Oh, and you know, what's going on there? And what are the thoughts of erasure, or the thought of harm, or the thought of revenge? Just to see that, what is happening? What's the feeling tone? So just I thought we could do this in a light way, so that you're not kind of, oh, my thought, but just be with the breath, the body, the sound, and time to time notice. What in a way the ethical feeling tone of the thought. So we can just stand up to stretch a little.